If you have been living under a rock for the last 7 to 10 years, you might not know this, but social media has gotten kind of big. It's not really a fad. It's really caught on. Now, I have fought social media for many, many years, and I remember early on I'm thinking, I'm not going to be a part of this. Well, I'm a part of this. How big is social media? Well, I figured the way to figure that out is to go to Google, right? So, you realize that 3.7 billion people own a phone, a mobile phone. 3.5 million own a toothbrush. Now, I wish I could explain that, what that means, but I know it's true because I read it on the internet. 3 billion people use the internet, and the average person has 5.5 social media accounts. And if you're on Facebook, like we saw here this morning, do you know that 1/4 of all internet traffic comes from Facebook? So you and all your friends on Facebook, you're 25% of all the internet traffic. You know how many are on Twitter? 500 million tweets a day. That's 6,000 per second. Do you know that 1 out of every 2 women are on Pinterest? Not a single man. Just kidding. Men are also on Pinterest. YouTube. That videos are uploaded on YouTube in 1 month, the amount is more than the 3 major networks produced in their first 60 years combined. Do you know that one day worth of Snapchat stories, if you were to look at that, it would take you 150 years to watch them? Do you know with social media, we have a whole new language? It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we heard the word like before, but it's in a different category. We have follow, hashtag, emojis, and this word viral. I mean, in the old days, viral meant the flu. But now, something goes viral every day and gets blasted throughout all of the world. Also on social media, you know there's a lot of funny things, silly things. There's tragedies on social media. And sometimes it's hundreds of people experiencing fun fest and are posted on Facebook and other places. And isn't that cool? We spread the news about fun fest on social media. But whether it's funny, whether it's sad, whether it's tragic, whether it's fascinating, there's something about this medium that has grabbed our hearts. It touches something deep inside of us that wants us to share things. And you know the thing that has gone the most viral is social media itself. I mean, it's gone literally unbelievable how much that influences us today. And so if we step back, we need to ask this question. Why? Why has social media been so crazy, so engulfed our lives? What is so magical about this medium? That's what our series is about. I decided to look at several of the social media things and to ask the question, is there something about the different forms of social media that is meeting a need? Something maybe deep down inside of us that maybe we're not even aware of that can reveal something about us and to us, and maybe we can help us understand the way God made us. So this morning, I want to start with Instagram. Now, I have to just confess, I'm on Instagram occasionally, okay? But I don't use it that much. And I remember when social media came out, I mean Facebook, the younger generation had Facebook, right? And they were on Facebook, and us older people, we kind of slowly got behind that. And then the older people then decided to get on Facebook, and by that time, the younger people had moved on. And they went on to Instagram and other things. But do you know that 400 million people use Instagram? And I read an article this week about Instagram, and one of the things that captures people is that they want to capture something. And so they use it for photos and videos, and they like to capture these moments of life that are really important to them. And so what you have in Instagram is you have these different moments that are captured. So many photos about love and about friendships, about something positive. I mean, Instagram, like other social media, reminds us how good life is, or how good life might be. And many of us want those moments, don't we? I mean, we want to capture those special moments, and people can look at them, and our emotions flow, don't they? I mean, you look at photos and different things, it kind of gets into our emotion. But I believe that Instagram reminds people of how good life is, and they want more of it. And so they post more and more things on Instagram. These moments of special memories. And I think what it really comes down to is that many of us are yearning inside of us that we want to have a life that we love. You see, God hardwired us for joy. Joy is something we're hardwired. In fact, the Bible speaks so much about joy in the Bible. I think it's 200 or 300 times, depending which translation you have. So it's a massive theme in the Bible about joy. But I want to just point out one passage this morning, really just one verse. It's in the book of Romans, Romans 14, 17. You can open up your Bibles or your phones. And want to take a look at this scripture. It says this: "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, this passage, this verse describes this kingdom of God. The thing that God invites all of us into, this kingdom of God. And he characterized what this kingdom of God looks like, and he describes this as goodness and peace and joy. And so the kingdom of God suggests that his desire is for us to be filled with joy. And that's great news, isn't it? It's great news that we were hardwired for joy. That he wants to give us a life of joy. And that's awesome news, isn't it? Awesome news that he wants to give us a life of joy. I mean, it's like something you always wanted. It'd be like if you were a 16-year-old or you turned 16 and you woke up that morning and you happened to go to the window and you looked out and there in the driveway was this car with a red bow around it. That's good news, isn't it? Or if you sent your check to the mortgage company and you got a phone call and it says, "Hello, Lynn, this is so-and-so from Chase. I want to let you know, hey, you know what? We got enough money. We're going to send your check back." Now, that's really good news, isn't it? Or if you're like me who grew up in the Cleveland area in Ohio, when the Cleveland Cavaliers finally brought home a championship, any kind of championship, to the city of Cleveland, that was good news. You see, we have great news, don't we, this morning? That he gives us this life of joy. Isn't it amazing? But if I asked an honest question this morning, do you really believe that? Does this sound like great news or fake great news? See, many of us in this room are Christians, and we have given our lives to Jesus, and we're part of this kingdom that was described, and we're doing what we can, we're contributing to this kingdom. But if we were totally honest and transparent right now, we would admit that joy is not the word you would pick. You struggle with anxiety. Maybe you worry a lot. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you have this anger. Maybe there's this hopelessness. Maybe you're depressed. But if there's any word you could describe, joy is not the word you would use. And I think this is so important when we realize that when God's promises in Scripture do not match our experiences in life, it creates tension. It creates something inside of us that just gnaws at us. And when we have this idea, when the promises of God in Scripture and the experiences of our life do not match, we tend to say these things: what's wrong with me? What's my deal? I must really be messed up. I must be broken. God promised me this, and I'm not experiencing this. And so then we tend to sometimes question our faith. Maybe we're not even a Christian. Maybe I got this whole thing wrong. And maybe we question God. Maybe it's just one big lie. Maybe it's just a fantasy world. Is any of this really true? What do we do with these questions? Many times we shove those questions deep down inside of us. And we say, we're going to shove it down deep inside. We're going to fake it until we make it. Even though our world inside seems to be falling apart. We tell everyone, hey, we're fine. Yeah, we're good. And we ignore all these things that are going on. But this disconnect still rings inside of our heads, and it won't go away. See, when God promises these things in Scripture, and they don't match our experiences in life, it creates tension. And this tension is real. And I would also suggest this morning that this tension is good. It helps us to understand joy that we would maybe not understand in any other way. You see, I believe that joy is a battle. Now, I don't mean it's a battle between our mind and our emotions, so don't hear that. To say, like, if I'm strong enough, I'm determined enough, if I can just bend my emotions some way, I can be happy, I can find joy. Or you say, well, if I can't, then maybe I'm just weak. Maybe I'm pathetic. Maybe I deserve the misery I'm in. You see, when you start buying into those things, it's all a lie. It takes you away from the life God is calling for each one of you. But I've experienced it, and maybe you've experienced it, that joy is a battle. The battle between the kingdom of God and this dominion of darkness. Now, can I go theological on you for just a moment or two? Because when I was in seminary, there was one thing in one class that I think cemented for me in my understanding of God and some of the struggles that I have been through. That I heard before, but in this one class, it became cemented in my heart and my mind, and that was this. We live in the already, but not yet, kingdom of God. Let me say that again. We live in the already. The kingdom of God is here, but it has not come in its fullness. And it stands opposed to what the Bible calls this dominion of darkness, this dark spiritual realm. I know we don't like to talk about it all the time, and yet in foreign countries, they are more in tune to that, and they talk more about that. But joy is a battle for us. And so these present realities of fear and anxiety and depression and things, these are extensions of the dominion of darkness. And for many of us, this is our present reality. And we want to so badly to shove this dominion of darkness over this way and welcome in the kingdom of God. We want so badly to experience the fruit of the kingdom of God. The good news for us today is this. The good news of Jesus, the good news of Easter, is we don't have to live under the kingdom of darkness. We're free to live in the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus. And we are invited into this joy. But there's one question then that gets asked. If that's really true, Lynn, then how? How can I live in this? How can I win this battle? How can I actually find joy in the midst of the things going on in my life? And I would say it is almost completely about the presence of God in our lives. When you experience the present reality of the kingdom of God, it is the pathway to joy. You can experience this joy. And so we need to train ourselves. And then one of the best ways to train ourselves is to begin this relationship with Jesus. He leads us into this kingdom of God. But a lot of us are already Christians. And we're not really feeling God's presence. And we don't experience His presence in our lives. Or maybe we don't intentionally have a greater awareness of the presence of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, there's a little phrase that has always bothered me. And that is this. It's a phrase that says, pray without ceasing. And I look at that phrase and I'm like, I can't do that. Like some other things in the Bible, it seems like a pie in the sky idea. I mean, how do you get there? Pray without ceasing. I mean, you got to eat. You got to sleep. You got to go to work. You got to do things. But the more I've thought about this verse, the more I think that this verse is practical for our lives. That this is a way that God is helping us to focus ourselves on Him. To aware that no matter our circumstances, no matter what's happening in our lives, that He is there with us. That we can train ourselves, that we can do this prayer continuously. You say, okay, Lynn, great. Now, how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what I think you can do. I read this week that there's two ways that if you have the Holy Spirit in your lives, two ways that you cannot experience this joy. And the first one is this, that you are continually sinning and not repenting. That's one that most of us can understand. But the second way that this happens is if we lose focus. We cease to think about God. We tend to put God over here. And so one of the ways we can do this is train ourselves to not lose focus. So let me throw this out. Is there something in your life that you do 50 or 100 times a day? Is there? Now, I will tell you there is one that I'm sure many of you hit 50 and 100 and maybe 200 a day, and that is this. You pull out the phone, right? Right? You pull out the phone. Have you ever counted how many times you pull out the phone per day? It's a lot. Or maybe it's not the phone. Maybe you're into drinking water. How many times you take one of those bottles of water and put it up to your mouth? Have you ever counted how many times that is? It could be 50 to 100 times. You don't know. Or I don't know anything else, but fill in the blank. Something that maybe you do 50 or 100 times a day. So let me challenge you with this morning. When you open your phone, or you go to pull your phone out of your pocket, and you look at it, Before you look at your phone, would you do something? Would you first say, hey, God, I know you're there. I know you're here right now. Before you even look at the phone, just say that. Hey, God, I know you're here. What if you did that every time for a week when you pulled out your phone? What if you did that every time before you take that sip of water and drink it? What would happen? I mean, because social media and other things have trained us to pull things out, to make a click, to do all these things 50, 100, 200 times a day, right? Maybe 300. And what if for 1 week, when we pull that out, we said a prayer, said, God, I know you're here. Please, I want your presence to be here with me right now. What if we did that for 1 week? And at the end of the week, we had a self-assessment. We asked ourselves, have I grown? Have I trained myself to think more about the presence of God in my life? Has that made a difference in this last week? Because I believe passionately that the presence of God brings freedom. It brings hope. It brings joy. It brings this kingdom of God into our presence. Now, let me tell you how that fleshed out in my life. There was a season in my life, and maybe you've had those seasons or experiencing one of those, where I was drowned in depression and anxiety, and there was a dark black cloud that was hanging above my head. And only people that have ever had a black cloud can understand that. I mean, I didn't really like my life. My life was like a bowl of spaghetti. I was not really sure what was driving my life. It was just all these intertwined things going on, and I was not having a joyful life. There was not a lot of things to be joyful about. And I looked around, and I remember inviting God in to come close. God, please, I want your presence. I want your kingdom of God to come. And here's the bad news. He didn't come. Or at least I didn't think so. And the more I tried drawing to him, and here's what I figured out. The more I was drawing to him, I didn't feel like it was making any difference. And so I decided to take another action. I decided that I was going down the road and I was going to have the presence of God in my life. And so what I did was I yelled at him. I yelled at God going down the road in my car because my life stunk. And I was yelling at him. And people going down beside me, driving beside me, probably think there's some fanatic. I didn't care. I was angry at God. I cried out to God. But one of the things that I realized, and I didn't even see it happening, I didn't even realize it step by step. In fact, someone had to remind me that I am more present with God than I've ever been in my life. I didn't want to hear it because to me, I didn't seem like it was making much of a difference. And then I realized that God didn't want me the way that I was before. And so I had to refocus. I had to recalibrate what this life looks like. I had misplaced even what joy looked like. I misplaced what my life should look like. But slowly, this dominion of darkness, and I mean it was slow, a year and a half. So if I'm not here today telling you that you just need to pray and have the kingdom of God on you, and in 6 seconds or 5 minutes, it's all gone, it's over, the cloud's gone, and I have joy. That doesn't happen all the time. It does happen for some. But 1.5 years, as I continue to work on the kingdom of God in my life, and I tried to push the dominion of darkness away, it was only through my understanding of God in my life that slowly, and I mean slowly, brought this joy. And here's the thing. this joy looked different. It had different coverings on than what it looked like before. You see, social media subtly tries to help us to find joy. An extra picture, an extra friend. Someone likes this, someone likes that. And in our world today, we feel like joy can be accomplished through social media. And some things can happen that are good. But social media will never satisfy. And some caring today are carrying a lot of things on their plate today, and I realize that. Some things in our lives that rear its ugly head. It might be anxiety, fear, frustration. And we want this joyful life. And we go back and we come to church on a Sunday morning and the preacher stands up here and says, these are the promises of God. And they don't seem to match our experiences. And we get frustrated. And so this morning, I'd like everyone to stand, please. And I'd like you just to put your hands out like this here if you would like. Because we are in a church family, a community that cares for one another. And just as we pray, just close your eyes and pray this. We want to invite God to bless each one here. And God, we know that some feel like these defining issues of their life is zapping them of their joy. Lord, we want them to experience, we want them to invite you in, that we might just have our lives filled up just a little bit more, and these defining issues of our lives just pushed over just a bit. And so this morning, Lord, we offer that prayer for those here today. In the midst of this church family, as we pray corporately, that the community of the kingdom of God is now represented here in this place. And we want to thank you for how much you love us. That your will for us is joy. As we heard earlier, you are such a good, good Father. And you reign over this church family. And Lord, I pray that for each person here that is struggling in one way or another, that your presence would be evident, that your kingdom would come, and the dominion of darkness would be set aside. And for all those in the hole, a cloud of depression, anxiety, and fear, and worry, or other some other form of darkness, Lord, I command these things to go, that it might be replaced with peace, that hope would come, that joy might come into our lives. Lord Jesus, let your kingdom reign in your people. And we love you. And we love that you send us something that we can't find in any other place. And that is the deep-seated joy of knowing that you love us and you care for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.